Sports Talk. Melnick in the afternoon. TSN 690.
What I want to know is how often Alan Walsh has sung this song. The theme for Agent Provocateur back, normally every Thursday at around this time on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Game night in Arizona, special two-hour Irish Embassy pregame coming up at 7. Pierre LeBrun will join us after 6. We'll go to Boston. Jimmy Murphy will join us after 6:30. A very shaky Cam Neely on the air in Boston, trying to defend the Bruins' position on the firing of Claude Julien, the timing of it. But we welcome back from Octagon Hockey in Los Angeles. Alan Walsh, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mitch. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you very much. What do you figure? You've seen him. You've seen him over 100 times. How many times have you sung that song at the top of your lungs?
I'm guessing over 1,000. Conservatively, at least that.
Yeah, I still remember buying the album when it came out in '75 and hearing it and being so excited that something was happening.
I bought that album and I remember playing it. I mean, hours and hours and hours, and it had everything. I was fascinated with the album cover. I was fascinated when you cracked the album open and you had the images on both sides with the lyrics superimposed. It was just that was, to me, the definitive rock and roll hero album.
And the big man's incredible saxophone, to this day being carried out in spirit by his nephew, Jake Clemens. Alan, before I get to the retirement of Marty Havlat, I've been meaning to ask you this, as it becomes apparent some nights that some teams just don't have it, there's a little bit of adversity, and collectively, these are the most competitive people on the planet, professional athletes, but because the fatigue factor is obviously setting in with a lot of teams and players, and it's almost a case of, all right, let's start thinking about the next one before the current game is even a period or a period and a half over. Have you heard from players about this schedule because of the World Cup and the bye week, how compressed and how challenging it is?
Sure. It's a common discussion with players. There's no way to spin it. It's a brutal schedule. And the number of back-to-back games that teams are forced to play, the travel without days off from game to game, the NHL schedule has become a sprint. And when you factor out the mandatory days off, which are a good thing, the World Cup, the All-Star break, the bye week, you know, many people don't realize that Wednesday nights is a very limited schedule as the NHL promotes rivalry games. There's usually just one or two games on the schedule on Wednesdays. When you factor all of that in, an NHL season from start to finish should be 180 days, but it's actually much closer for each team to 150 days, and they're playing 82 games in those 150 days. That's just a brutal, brutal schedule.
And at playoff time, as you know, at playoff time, so you're coming out of a season like this with the schedule being as difficult as it is, and then the real season starts at playoff time, which has always been a game practically every second night. This is is there anything that you guys can do about it as players? I mean, to make sure it doesn't happen again, or if everybody wants the World Cup, how do you manage to squeeze 82 games with a late start and time off that the players want, I suppose, to make it work properly?
Yeah, I don't know if there's an answer, an acceptable answer to the question. I've heard some people in some circles say, why don't we play less games? I just don't ever see that happening. Spread the season out more. That could work, but The league doesn't want regular season games in September, and we already go until mid-June for the final game of the Stanley Cup Finals. So, I mean, there are some concepts out there that could alleviate some of the impact that the schedule is having on players, specifically the injuries that occur to players because of the schedule. I mean, it's there, it's real, it happens. But I haven't seen anything come across my desk where you can realistically say this is the answer.
Actually, you mentioned September. I would take a wild guess and suggest, especially veteran players, would be very happy to cut out the number of exhibition games to play for real earlier.
I agree with that, but keep in mind that we've also gone from playing 9 preseason games. Some teams are, you know, we're down to 5-6. Some teams played 5. There's a lot of people who've said to me that all the preseason games aren't necessary, and they're certainly not great money makers. So why not do 3 preseason games or 2 preseason games and get right down to the schedule and, you know, give yourself another 2 weeks of a season to lessen the back-to-backs? Clearly, that's something that should be looked at some point. I just don't know what kind of appetite the league has to play regular season games in September when it's going head-to-head with baseball.
Right. And so this drives home the point, this kind of schedule with all the injuries that happen as a result, because this isn't a gaming console, this is real life. How much do you prep your guys at the start of a season? How important, I mean, the teams obviously have a hand in this as well, but how important it is to take care of yourself, sleep to rest, basic stuff that maybe fans don't think about, to put them in a position to be in the best possible shape as anybody can be, and then, you know, the rest will take care of itself.
It's down to a science in and of itself. Most players literally watch every piece of food that goes into their body. Sleep is important. There's now almost every team has at least one massage therapist who travels with the team on the road. Some teams travel with 2. That was unheard of 5 or 6 years ago. There's people doing active release on players, flushing legs. There's all kinds of things that players are doing now to remain in peak physical condition and do everything they can to avoid injury. And from recovery drinks, it's all encompassing of their life, and really even their off season as well. I mean, the off season training has become so sophisticated. Players have skating coaches, they have skill coaches, they have life coaches. There's sports psychology. Really, it's a testament to players' dedication and to the team's recognition that there are so many things out there, tracking sleep, for example, that can impact performance. Everyone's trying to get that extra little edge.
With Alan Walsh, Octagon Hockey in Los Angeles, Agent Provocateur, every Thursday a little after 5:30 on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Pierre LeBrun after 6, Jimmy Murphy in Boston after 6:30. Martin Havlat, this what a guy, incredible talent, one of the great what-ifs, though, right? One of the great what-ifs when you look at Martin Havlat's career, if he hadn't been bogged down by so many injuries. What was it like to get to know this guy and represent him?
I first met Marty when he was 17 years old. We met in a restaurant in Friedek Místek, Czech Republic. He didn't speak one word of English. There was an interpreter who translated our conversation together. And Marty was never just a client to me. He's always been, from almost the beginning of our work together, one of my closest friends off the ice. Spent a lot of time with him when he was younger. Spent a lot of time with him and his family as his family grew. He's got two amazing little kids right now. And we've been in the wars together. You know, we had so many great stories together of our time, his time in Ottawa, and his time in Chicago. Really, those were the best years of his career. He had one really good year in San Jose, but that last year in Chicago, when he had 77 points, almost a point a game throughout the season, and had an amazing playoff, scored the dramatic OT goal in game one against Calgary in the first round. You know, there are so many moments that we had together that I'll cherish forever. He had a 14-year career. He was held back significantly for many years because of different injuries, and he did everything that any human could possibly do to stay healthy and prevent injury and recover from injury. But it's just a fact that the last 5-6 years were a real struggle to be able to go out there and play the way he expects himself to play. And when he couldn't meet that expectation of his own game is when I saw him coming to the realization that it was not the right thing to keep going.
Well, it was a pleasure watching him. It was a guy that, you know, every time you saw, well, Martin Havlat's not in the lineup tonight because he's hurt, you said, damn. Because what was his favorite part of competing in the National Hockey League? What did he enjoy doing the most?
You know, Marty enjoyed everything. He always had a smile on his face. He was loved by his teammates. He was a leader in many ways. You know, in our summer training camps in Montreal, our pro camps in August, he clearly was a leader amongst the group. He was great with younger players. He's got an amazing sense of humor and a devilish, I would call him a devilish prankster, unabashed. Seen him, you know, on his best days. I've seen him on his worst days. You know, if you asked Marty that question, I think he would say, I loved everything. I mean, he loved interacting with fans. He loved meeting fans. I've sat with him in restaurants and watched his steak go ice cold, talking to kids, posing for pictures. You know, Marty spent a lot of time in Montreal, literally every off season. I'd say 75% of the off season was spent living in Montreal. He was a you know, by Vic Park, where our gym was located. Marty would be on that street, you know, the entire month of July and August, eating at Park downstairs. And he felt really at home in Montreal. He loved the city, at times, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but he expressed an interest in playing for Montreal. And the timing didn't work out. But he was somebody who took joy in playing the game in every part of the game every day.
I know our listeners in Ottawa loved watching him at the beginning of his career, a couple of 30-goal seasons in there. And again, it's just a shame about the injuries, but a real reason to be proud of a career that saw, what, over 800 games in the National Hockey League. Thanks to Marty Havlat. Alan, please give him my best, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Pleasure being with you.
Bye-bye. By the way, just as a reminder, this album, Born in the USA, for Springsteen fans, since I don't know when we're going to see Springsteen and the E Street Band in Montreal again. Tommy Youngstein. Well, most of you, I say Tommy Youngstein and you start laughing. I get it. Tommy Youngstein. Who's Tommy Youngstein? What is this? What is this shtick? It is a super group made up of musicians from Montreal and Toronto. Members or ex-members of Stars, The Stills, Josh Traeger, a tremendous drummer for the Sam Roberts Band, members of Serena Ryder's band, horn section from the Arkells. These are ace musicians, and they have a tribute band. And during downtime, when they're not touring or recording with their regular gigs or front people, they get together and they pay tribute to the music of Tom Petty, Neil Young, and Bruce Springsteen. And it's a great night of music. And we're bringing them to the Fairmount Theater on Friday night, April the 21st. They are going to perform Born in the USA in its entirety, and they will be performing a lot of Springsteen's other great hits and maybe some songs you don't even know they're Springsteen songs. That is Friday, April the 21st at the Fairmount Theater. Please go to theaterfairmount.com. Maybe we can bring Alan in to belt out Born in the USA or Born to Run, Born Here, Born There, Born Everywhere. Pierre LeBrun's coming up next.
This Friday, the Lotto Max jackpot is $60 million plus 26 max millions. So,
tonight I'm pet sitting a cat.
Could become.
Tonight I'm jet setting to Cannes.
Think about it.